Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot, with a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Welcome to the Artist Friends Podcast. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to episode 58 for August the 10th, and I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Brosnan. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, everybody.
All right. I hope you folks enjoy this podcast. On the recommended videos, and this was a recommendation from Constance last week. She mentioned a couple called Raffi and Klee. There are a couple working artists that produce video podcasts that we frequently follow, and they are just so full of joy, and we get a kick out of listening to them and their recommendations. So if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, that's talkartpodcast.com, you'll see the two recommended links, and it is a couple videos from Raffi and Klee. Raffi has written a book, and it's available on Audible, and I have a copy of it, and I'm going to start listening to it here pretty soon. In fact, tonight we're going to play a brief two-minute audio clip from his book, and he gives some really good advice for artists, and he just blows away the gatekeeper myth. And the snobs, maybe that's why we identify with them after last week's podcast. we're not snobs, or at least we try not to be on everything. So, Diane, I assume you got a chance to look at the videos. And what about that first one where he says, is my art good enough? What do you think about that? What's your thoughts about that?
Oh, he was talking about if your art needs to have meaning. And I don't necessarily think that it has to have any kind of meaning. I think most artists find something they really like, or an idea that they really like, or resonates with them, and, create from that point. I don't know if I've ever created something where I've had an idea of a certain thing ahead of time and created to fit that idea. That doesn't usually work that way. At least not with me.
That's kind of the way Raffi, like I said, yeah, if your art has deep meaning, and I like the way he kind of just put it in layman terms, and where both him and Klee said, if you create a piece of artwork, it has meaning. It has meaning already because you created it. It's you. It's your yourself is coming into it. Constance, you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I think that, you know, I'm stumped.
Maybe edit this out. God.
Well, I think anytime you create, your part of you, of yourself is going into your work, and you feed on experiences you've had or feelings that you're, you know, of how something has affected you or memories you have or, you know, something like that. I think all that comes out in your work, and it's how you relate to whatever it is you're creating.
Absolutely. That's undeniable. Yes, there are artists who, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, artists who want to create art that presents a social or political point of view, there's nothing wrong with that. But in order to sit back and say, oh, my art doesn't say anything. Well, it does, actually, because it says something about you, or it says something about what you were thinking at the time. You know, why did you, you know, create something? It's like I use his, I love his example of Van Gogh. You know, Van Gogh probably just painted sunflowers because he thought they were pretty at the time. He didn't have any particular meaning behind them. He just painted sunflowers because he liked them. Of course, the art historians and the art educators, you know, attach, the art critics, they attach meaning to this later on, you know. And well, lucky Van Gogh had, they have an archive of his letters to his brother Theo, which was really interesting. It gave insight to the whys and what for and his struggles. But just looking at his paintings and everything, I honestly believe it's just like Rafi said, he just liked painting sunflowers, you know. And, Constance, you want to add to this conversation?
Well, you know, flowers are beautiful and they're colorful and they're out there. And every year, certain flowers come around at certain times of year and they're gorgeous. And why not paint flowers? They're wonderful.
Yeah. And to get back to,
they make people smile all the time. We give them to each other for special occasions. So why not put them down on canvas, you know?
Exactly.
You can make abstracts out of them. You can make, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of ways to paint flowers. You know,
like Diane says, connecting her brush with nature. She connects her brush with the flowers and with the, you know, with the grass and the woods and her landscape, and sometimes with her goats.
Sometimes. not a whole lot. Not very often. They steal too much stuff and it makes it too hard to work.
I don't think I can get out there in the pasture and paint with the donks out there. They would probably steal everything out of the buckets and stuff before I could get done.
Yeah. Now, the second video that was on the list, which I really liked. There is no roadmap to being an artist. And he actually read a little bit, the latter part of the video was he read from his, or he played the excerpt from chapter 5 of his book, because he wrote a book. My mind just went blank. It was called The Rogues, The Rogue Journey to Becoming an Artist or something like that. Or the Rogue.
I forget what it was.
Yeah. And I, once I found out it was an Audible, I've got a copy of it. So eventually I'm going to get into, start listening, because the man, he speaks some common sense, you know. And both him and Klee, they have said many times in their, you know, videos, some people think they're getting wealthy and they're getting rich and they're in galleries. No. But they are having fun. They are having the best times of their life, you know, working in arts. They are living the artist life, and that comes across. And that's what Constance said, told me one time. You relate to, right, Constance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy road being an artist. It's not. But you have to dedicate yourself if that's what you want to do. Then you just have to dedicate yourself to that, you know, and like they said, you know, it's not a straight road. but you just have to get up every day and stay on that road. Some days you're just going to have a hard day, and some days you're going to go, oh my, why am I doing this? You know, but you just have to get up and greet every day with the fact that this is what I have chosen to do, and just do it, you know.
I've captured about a 2-minute clip I'm going to play for you folks from his book. And if I can get this started right, we'll see if everybody can hear that.
There is no roadmap.
Can you two hear that?
When it comes to pursuing a creative life, there really is no roadmap. There is no fairy dust, no proven method, no magic formula, no Google map address, and no online course that could tell you where to go. There is only you, your imagination, and your backbone. The possibilities are endless when you invoke your creative power as an artist to forge your own path and blaze the trail ahead of you. This is a journey you will need to embark on with the awareness that you are uniquely you. Also, you are awesome. Listen, I'm not saying that you're unique and awesome to try and make you feel better about yourself. Unless you understand that you are the only person that could truly guide you through the plethora of bullshit advice that is floating around out there, you will feel lost and discouraged. Despite people promising $100,000 a year if you take their online courses or use their proven methods, when it comes down to it, as a creative, your lasting power lies within your unique perspective. The fact that you see the world and interact with it unlike anyone else is a superpower. That's your machete. But if you don't believe in your superpower, you might as well eat a bowl of frosted kryptonite flakes. Most artist courses and books offer cookie-cutter advice that is not going to set you apart. They will teach you how to market your product, but it may drain your creativity in the process. When you follow someone else's path, it may ultimately lead somewhere you didn't want to go. Most courses are helpful, but I'll be honest. Desperate artists make easy targets for all kinds of unscrupulous people out there with promises of fame, fortune, and artistic glory. Please be skeptical of anything that seems too good to be true. Remember, proven methods are not roadmaps. They are simply a suggestion and opinion selling themselves as a sure thing. There are no roadmaps in the art world, and as well-meaning as someone may try to be, the fact remains that they haven't walked in your shoes. They have no idea who you are and what you're capable of. They haven't experienced your fears, discouragement, disappointments. They can't predict your struggles because we all struggle with our own insecurities and our own set of roadblocks. Knowing more about marketing strategies is not going to help you with this.
So
he's telling it just like it is.
Yeah. In fact, he sounds a lot like our favorite, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, he says it says you've got to have perspective. He says put it in perspective, you know, I've followed enough of
And I know who he's talking about when he's talking about the person who promises $100,000 a year. I remember coming across that particular person who uses that strategy to sell their program.
But no names here, all right?
No, I'm not. I don't even remember the name. I remember it. But
oh yeah, they're out there everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. When
they're out there, there's a lot of them out there, you know, who prey on artists.
Some of Raffi's other videos made me really feel good, because when I started, for the last 20 years, for the folks who don't know this, I've created and I operated an internet radio station, which has millions of listeners worldwide. I play the nostalgic radio plays called, you know, old time radio from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And before I started this creative journey and trying to be a professional artist at the encouragement of my daughters, that was how I used my creativity. Because, see, I've been an artist my whole life. If I wasn't doing visual art, I was doing production art in the creation of the shows, in the development of the playlists and the arrangement. That takes a certain amount of creativity. So I was always using my creativity. Now, when I started this journey, I was really, really kind of stressed out. Should I separate from my internet radio station, from my art, should I separate this as two separate creative activities? I went through a lot of turmoil with that, a lot of stress. I actually came up with what I called my pulp radio art, illustrations based on the old radio shows, which didn't last that long because I was not feeling satisfied. My creativity was not. And on days and weeks when I couldn't create my art, I felt guilty that I wasn't painting. I wasn't drawing because I had to dedicate time for this radio station because it takes quite a bit of time to program the shows and then upload them to the servers and arrange the playlists. Because like I said, I have millions of listeners worldwide. Now, since the COVID crisis has been going on, my listeners have told me that I have become an essential service, that they listen to my radio shows to ease their minds and to take the stress off of the, you know, the problems with the COVID crisis, you know, the unemployment and whatnot. So I have an even greater responsibility. Listening to Rafi has put that all together and made me feel good because one of his videos, he discussed how his creativity, he loves creating his podcast. He loves tinkering with the videos. He loves, and that is his other form of creativity, using his creativity. So now when I can't draw or when I can't paint, I don't feel guilty anymore. Thanks to Rafi, I am completely fully fulfilled in my creativity. Like this last week, I didn't pick up the paintbrush, didn't do any visual art whatsoever. Because I had a lot of work with the radio station I had to do. And all week long, I've been creating podcasts, and then I was preparing for a live show. So that was still, my creativity was still being fulfilled. So Rafi and Cleo, thank you so much. I know you guys don't listen to our podcast, because maybe you might, you know, but thank you. Just that alone helped me personally to not feel guilty when I'm not creating art. And getting back to when he said there's no roadmap, I truly believe that. Diane, can you identify with that? Does that resonate with you?
Oh, yeah. There really is no roadmap at all. I mean, it depends on circumstances. It depends on where your interests are at the time. I've fluctuated between all kinds of different kinds of arts. And I mean, when I first started college, I thought I was going to be a sculpture major, and I just ended up switching to printmaking and weaving and all kinds of, and even after I got out of college, I was working for other artists that were doing fiber arts, and I was weaving screens for antique radios, and I was making velveteen boxes, and I was doing all kinds of crazy things, and along with my own art. So it was, I guess, a time of exploration and just being creative in all kinds of different ways. And you graduate from college and you're an artist, an international famous artist all of a sudden, when you walk out the doors, it doesn't happen that way. It's like,
And trying to follow somebody else's path, like he says, it doesn't work. You know, it really doesn't. You end up in frustration, and many, many artists, they just quit. They give it up. I'm not ever going to make any money.
But I think even if they do quit as far as trying to make a living at it, I think there's people that are creative, like you were saying, if you're not doing your art, you're creative in some other way. You find some other vehicle to use your creativity in. And it's even like times when I haven't painted or, done art specifically, I've used my creativity in other ways, making other things or doing other things. And I think artists in general kind of think outside the box and are a lot more creative than the normal, I don't say normal people, but our brains are wired that we think of alternate ways of doing things than a lot of people do. Paul and Mark, I think no matter what we're doing that.
Paul Klein said it really well at the start of his course. You know, he says, you're an artist. You can't help it.
That is true. You can't help it.
You're going, if you're not painting, if you're not sculpting, if you're not drawing, then you're writing. If you're not writing, then you're making music. If you're not making music, then you're creating little pottery things, you know, or pieces of jewelry, or, I mean.
Even if you're not doing art or any kind of craft or anything, even like cooking or just any, in any way that you're, you know, anything you do in life, you're thinking of it more creatively than a lot of people do. And it's just the way your brain is wired. And it's a different way of thinking.
My two adult daughters, we were, you know, having a conversation one time, and my youngest daughter went and made a comment. She says, I just wish I could draw or whatever. I'm just not creative. I said, yes, you are. What's one thing that you like to do so much you always tell me about? Cooking. Yeah. You always like to try new recipes.
That is a creative.
And you like to try, you know, different spices and different, you know, flavorings. And yeah, you're right. I said, yeah, you're creative. You know, my oldest daughter, we had the similar conversation with her. It was with photography. She is an excellent photographer, and, you know, she puts herself down. She knows how to create the perfect composition, all of her photos. In fact, I use a lot of her photos as reference for my artwork so that I don't get in trouble with copyright problems. And she always, you know, every so often I say, hey, send me some more photos. So she'll send me another batch of photos, you know, because she's always taking photos, you know, and everything. So, yes, creativity is, it's, if it's in your blood, you know, you can't help it. You know, Constance, add to this conversation, because there's something that I want to mention that you have been, many times you've talked about, you've been struggling. You do your jewelry, you create your jewelry, and then you said you wanted to start creating visual art again. You went through a period of what, a year ago, you was into pastels, you know, and.
Yeah, but I've been doing pastels off and on the whole time. A lot of the times I will do portraits, pastels. I'll use the portraits, the animal portraits. They seem to just come out better in pastels. They just look more velvety, you know, for animals for their portraits to be in pastels. So I've always done, you know, when somebody's wanted an animal portrait, to do it in pastels.
But what I was getting to is a couple of times you made some comments that said, boy, I wish I could paint again. And me and Diane said, well, go for it.
Right? Yeah. I had stopped painting for 12 years, yeah, you know, because
now you're painting.
When I was living in Alabama on the Florida line, I had just gotten into a desperate place for money. And so there were a lot of tourists there. And so I started making jewelry because the jewelry had started selling. And so I was selling jewelry to the tourists and as a way to make extra money. So it eventually just took up so much time that I was spending all my time doing that instead of making art. And so when I moved up here, that ceased to be a thing to do. So I am sitting on a mountain of jewelry that I don't have. I can't move now. So I am... I mean, Raffy talked about crickets, little crickets, that's what I hear at Itsy now. It's just crickets, crickets, cricket, 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 but Itsy crickets. That's all I hear at Itsy is crickets. I even put stuff on sale and I still hear crickets, you know. I don't know.
What's your Itsy site? Give the address out for our listeners.
It's itsy.com/shop/ C Brosnan S. BROSNANS. And that's, there are things on sale and I post them on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, no, I try to share them when I catch them, you know.
Yeah. I took the art off of the site because I don't know what happened, but Etsy is more expensive to sell art on Etsy than it is at a gallery. So I took the art off of Etsy, and I'm not going to sell it there anymore. I'm going to just show the art on Faso and sell it there in Daily Paintworks.
Okay. Then we, what's your Daily Paintworks site? Go ahead and say that too.
Is it Daily Paintworks? I don't know what the address is there, but if you go to Faso, if you find me on, just type my name in on Google. If you Google my name, you'll find my Daily Paintworks in the Faso.
Okay. Yeah. We want to get some of that, push some of that out. You know, Diane provided a message for us. In fact, that takes us right up. Let's stop momentarily for a message, and then we'll continue.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of C. Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oil sometimes.
All right, welcome back to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 58, and I am here with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. And Constance, before we started recording, you were talking about about Raffi and Cleo, why you like them. So I told you to hold it until, the recording. So
that they like to keep it real, that when they talk about their journey and their life as artists, that they keep it real. And when they talk about discussing about their art, that they talk about the gatekeepers to the galleries, and they just like to keep it real.
Diane, you want to add anything to that? And we'll be wrapping this up here.
Yeah. Well, they talked about not really needing the gallery system as far as being a successful artist and doing things on their own and finding their own way through it and finding alternative places to sell their work and doing like shows and festivals and things like that, even selling at local businesses and anywhere you can find a place where they'll show your work for, where you can hang your work up or show your work. And so they've done a lot of odd kind of things rather than just going to galleries and trying to sell through galleries.
Yeah.
And it's worked for them, so.
Yeah, I used to live in their area, and I used to do a lot of the shows and things that they did in that area, and that's where I did really well doing what they did in that area. But now that I've moved to Oklahoma, it's just like, boom. It's like I hit a brick wall and I just bounced back and hit the ground. So I'm really having to try and find a new way here in Oklahoma. But then COVID hit, and then it seems like it just hit another brick wall. And I just, all of a sudden, you just have to figure out how to do it all over again. It's like traveling through that wooded area that he likes to talk about,
So. Yeah, well, that's part of why there's no real roadmap, because no matter, every place people live in different places, they have different circumstances, they have different things available to them, So you kind of have to figure that all out for where you live and the type of art you do. And it's a process. It's not something that's, not like a step one, you do this, step two, you do this. It doesn't work that way.
There's no hard and fast rules for any of those.
Yeah.
It's not going to be laid out for you. You have to really deep down be serious.
You start going down one road, you start listening, hearing crickets, you have to back up and figure out, you start going in another direction.
Really decide, do I want to, do I want to pursue this as a career, and am I willing to put the effort in? And it's a lot of effort. What I really attracted me about those two, and the reason why I follow them quite a bit, is they freely admit, hey, people think we are making all kinds of money, that we're nice, we're rich, you know. And no, they both said, you know, Clee jumped, yells out, there's sometimes months will go by before I sell a piece of jewelry, because she does mostly jewelry, you know, makes jewelry. And then Rafi said, yeah, I don't sell a painting all the time, you know, and I do commission sometimes, and then I have commissions. They don't want it afterwards. So these are all, like Constance says, they keep it real, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You know, I may go for a month and not sell anything on Etsy, but then I'll turn around the next month. I might sell some stuff on eBay, and I might sell a couple of things on Etsy, you know, and then I'll turn around and I'll sell something for $300 or $400 on Etsy. But then again, for the next 2 or 3 months, I might not sell anything on Etsy. I mean, so that's just how the cookie crumbles in this. You just have to be willing to hang in there for the duration. You know, if this is the life you've chosen, this is it, you know.
And that's
you just
what,
have to hang in there.
That's what attracts me to those two. They're honest. They keep it real. And they're happy. They're happy. They are living the creative life. And that attracts me, because that's what I'm doing. I'm living the creative life. And like I said, I went through a period of stress, you know, because I got my internet radio station I've got to do. I've got my drawings I've got, you know, and it was causing me stress. Now, no more stress. 1 week, when my radio station needs a lot of work, I'll work on that. And then the next week I'll knuckle down and do, you know, 2 or 3 paintings. And so that's the way it goes. Speaking of that, before we close out, we haven't done this in a while. Let's set a goal for next week. All right. Constance, what, it doesn't have to be anything big. What's going to be your mini goal to get completed by next week?
Mini goals. I had already written down in my date book that I was going to try and paint every day this week. Now it's Monday and I haven't done a painting this week yet, but there's the but. I have gotten moved back into the studio.
Yes, yes, yes.
The last 2 days I've spent 2 solid days getting moved back in the studio and getting it cleaned up after not having air conditioning out here for 2 weeks. I'm back in the studio. Yay. So I can start painting again.
Yes. It's conducive. It's conducive to painting. So,
yes.
So you're going to commit to at least doing one painting this week then, okay?
At least three or four.
Three or four, okay. Then by Monday, we'll check up on you. Diane, what do you commit to for this week?
I've been working on 2 little paintings, so I'm going to try to get them finished up this week.
Okay. All right. And I'll tell you what. Me, I'm going to commit to doing at least 3 paintings. Probably 2 of the lessons for the, you know, Kelly Folsom lesson, and then 1 independent. And all 3 of us, let's take photographs and send them to me so I can get them on the YouTube version of the podcast, okay? So we can let people know that we do hold each other accountable when we make these goals.
Okay? This is true.
Does that sound like a plan?
That works. Yep.
All right. All right. Let's wrap up this episode. You have been listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 58 for August the 10th, 2020. My name is Clyde J. Kell, and I have been talking with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, my 2 best artist friends, and we have made our commitment. So you listeners, you hold us accountable too. If you don't see those paintings, you can say we're that's 3 people full of crap. No, I'm sure you won't. Okay. I'm going to say goodbye to Constance and Diane. But, before I say that, Diane always reminds me, please, wherever you listen, wherever you hear this podcast, please give us a positive star rating and a thumbs up. If you like what you hear, give us some love. We appreciate that. And don't be afraid to send comments, you know, or send an email. And if you would like to participate, cjkale@mystery-otr.com. cjkale@mystery-otr.com. And say, Clyde, I want in. Yeah. We'll let you in. So good night, Diane. Good night, Constance.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks. And thank you so much for listening.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends Podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.